The Zen of Gentlemen podcast is brought to you by Beastly Beard Care, a company based in Woodstock, Illinois. Now let's get real for a second, gentlemen. No one, including your lady, likes an inchy, coarse, or shaggy beard. And what Beastly Beard Care does is provide superior quality beard products made in small batches that will promote healthy growth, soften, and give that beard a remarkable shine that you will love. And did I mention it'll smell great in the process? Hurry over to facebook.com/beastlybeardcare, and once you're there, give them a like and follow the link to their website so you can see for yourself all the great products that they offer. Now, when you go to checkout, add the promo code FREESHIP, and we'll take care of the shipping costs for you. We're also brought to you by Armstrong's All Natural, a company based in Brooklyn, New York, that has been making the highest quality leather care and skin conditioning products since 2014. They carry a large assortment of salves, waxes, and balms to keep you and the things that work hard for you in perfect running condition. They keep production environmentally friendly by sourcing only natural ingredients from local family farms that use sustainable farming practices in order to produce the purest handcrafted artisanal products. Everything they do is designed to give you, the consumer, the best buying experience possible, even down to the packaging that is recyclable or compostable. Now, it's very easy to find them on Instagram. Just search Instagram in the search bar for Armstrong's All Natural or visit their website at armstrongsallnatural.com. Now, when you get over there, use the code word Zen at the checkout and receive 15% off your entire order. Now, one more time, that's armstrongsallnatural.com. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Zen of Gentlemen podcast. We're your guide to being a perfect gentleman in an imperfect age. This is your source for discovering the gentleman within you. Listen in as we share with you tips to becoming well-groomed, well-mannered, and well-trained in the lost art of virility. Let's take the journey together with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Welcome back again, all of our faithful listeners. I'm your host, Dan, along with my tried and true companion, Chris.
You're thinking of the words to say, weren't you?
I was trying to do a different.
It's okay. I like always faithful to compatriot. It sounds like we're like Bush Cassidy and Sundance Kid. Maybe
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that. We're not wearing cowboy hats.
I just try and use different adjectives.
That's okay. It's not like we're in cowboy hats or anything. I mean, not yet, at least.
I mean, I have one in my house.
I don't have one. I got to get one. There's that.
I've got a straw one. Well, this is pretty exciting. I'm proud to say we're officially in the double digits with our show.
Yes, we are.
We're show number 10.
That's crazy, man.
It's awesome.
I think it seems like we haven't been doing that long, but we've done 10 shows.
Yeah.
I mean, we usually do two at a time, but like
it's been really fun though.
I think
really enjoyed it.
We started off getting not too many downloads, mm-hmm. and then now we're averaging about 100 a week.
Some days
are better than others. Like, I think we only had like 20 yesterday. Like that. So either way, I mean, 20 is 20.
That's 20 people that want to listen to us shoot shit.
Yeah. And iTunes finally changed our logo. Oh, I figured out what was wrong with it. Remember, we just had the old one.
Mm-hmm.
We had the ones that were specifically made for iTunes. Mm-hmm. I brought the file size down. I made the resolution a little bit bigger. And then they finally accepted it.
Yeah, you're like talking Chinese.
Not even
right
close.
Now.
Huh? Okay. I might like, as well just been talking Greek, right?
So, this episode, we're going to be talking, and I kind of want to spearhead this one because it's a lot of my pet peeves.
Well, exactly, Tim. We've both been in this kind of business. Mm-hmm. So, we both could probably tell a good deal of stories about
a gentleman's guide to bar etiquette.
Exactly. And it's not really, I wouldn't say gentleman's, just all around general guide.
A good person's guide. Because for those of you who don't know, I used to work as a bar back / bouncer in a bar.
An English style pub.
And it was modeled as an English pub, but it was the farthest thing. It was just a dive bar. It was a dive bar and
killer sliders
in a real, in a real rednecky area. So I was essentially working in a country bar that was just scummy people that really need to listen to all these tips.
First, before you go into the scummy people thing, not the people that work there.
Oh, no. There were good people that went there. Like, I'm still friends with a few people from there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping my friend Janice, who listens.
I was going to say, she seems to be on the show, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome. She's a riot.
She seems like a cool kid.
She's a really good person.
Yeah. Like
and
she's
so I hope she spreads
the
word of this to all the people that go.
You should tell her to share the show on her page. I'm sure she's got a lot of friends out there.
Yeah. All the people at Crick's that need basic lessons in etiquette in their 50s. Exactly.
So, as Dan was saying, this show is going to be about basically gentleman rules, good person rules for being at a bar, what not to do, what to do, and basically not to make anybody else around you want to punch you in the mouth. I mean, that's really what it was, especially the bartender.
Yeah.
Bartenders or the bar back. Yeah. And as Dan has been, you know, work security, been bar back. I've worked in my fair share of bars, nightclubs, adult entertainment establishments. Mm-hmm. I've seen my fair share, been a part of my fair share. Those are my younger days, but days that when my son gets older, he's going to ask me about certain things. Like, yeah, my moments. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always wanted that when I got older. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted my life. It's my dad, as much of a dick that he was. I mean, he said to me one time, he goes, one thing I always regretted is I didn't get to live my 20s. Because I was born when he was 22 years old. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to live that. I had to provide for you guys. And he left like a fucking bunch of times. So like, what did you provide? Like hopelessness? Okay. So that sounds really bad to say.
No.
I've never said that to him. I'm sure his wife listens to the show. So I hope they hear it. Because live your 20s, you know, have a good time, you know, like you can have girlfriends but have a good time, you know? So I did. And I made a lot of money working at, you know, titty bars and stuff. A lot of money, saw a lot of things I can't unsee and was a part of things.
Look
I
what
don't
I can do with this ping pong ball.
It's more than that. I've been a part of things that I don't want to talk about anymore. Mm-hmm. And,
then we won't talk about
it. But we had fun. So, yeah. But anyway, so, like I said, we're a little bit older now, a little bit wiser, mm-hmm. and we know what not to do and what things that kind of pissed us off back in the day, mm-hmm. and what kinds of things that we needed as gentlemen, we should all be doing.
And hopefully this doesn't fall on deaf ears of people that might be 20, 19, 20, to get into the bar age.
And then impressionable scene era right now, mm-hmm. where everybody's just like, oh, I'm going to be 21, I'm going to be Mr. Drunk, woohoo, asshole. Mm-hmm. No, you're not, and don't.
And really, probably the most important rule to me that I want to start with is rule number one. If you cannot afford to tip your bartender, you cannot afford to go out.
Stay home. Just stay home.
Because in the state of Florida, tipped minimum wage is like $4 and change an hour.
I think it just went up, but I don't think it's any more than $5.
I've been out of the hospitality for a while.
Yeah, there's
so
a reason
really
for
know.
That, too. But yeah. I don't think it's any more than $5 or $6. I don't think it's any more than $5.
If you cannot afford your tips, do not go out. Buy a six pack and stay at home.
It'll be a lot cheaper for you to begin with. Mm-hmm. But also too, when you do tip, like when you go to order your first drink at a bar, you pull up to the bar, you're there with your friends, mm-hmm. or you're there with your lady, or you know, just you know, like you're on a double day, whatever the case may be, right? When you order a drink, whether for yourself or for the whole table, on your first drink, tip pretty well. Okay, and I'm going to tell you the reason why. Now, Dan, we talked about this prior, and this goes into what you're saying. I hope I'm not, you know, infiltrating.
No, not
anything.
At all, and I've got a perfect illusion to go with this one.
When you tip big on your first drink, and I'll tell you why. Now, the reason for that is, like, bartenders remember good tippers, especially at a busy bar, okay?
I still remember the good tippers.
So, when you go to a bar and you say you just order a long neck, you know, figure $3, you know, normally I give them a $5, keep it, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah, that's pretty standard.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. So that's like, a dollar per drink is the general. And if it's any more.
The more complicated your drink, the higher your tip needs to be. If you're getting like a Bud Light, a dollar every other beer is fine. If you're getting.
I usually give a dollar per beer. So.
You're a good tipper.
I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But like, if you got more complicated drinks, $2 is not out of the question. Anything that's multiple drinks that takes a lot more time, you need to worry about that. But tip big. Like, you go in and get your first drink, whether it's a long neck, a martini, whatever the case may be. Give $3 or $4 just mm-hmm. to say, hello, how are you? And they remember that stuff. Now, at a busy bar, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is when there's a line of people around the bar and a lot of people, like, they might not be all great tippers. Some guy might have tipped $1. Some guy didn't tip change. And she sees you.
You're going to get served.
You're going to get served before all these people, whether regardless of you just pulled up to the bar or you've been sitting there for a while. You're going to get served first.
And
now, that's
a great example of this.
It's going to make a better night for you in the long run.
There was a gentleman who had come into the bar that I worked at. He'd come in on some Friday nights, and his order would be, I still remember it, it's a Guinness and an Irish car bomb.
Yeah.
That came to, let's see, it was $5.50 for the Guinness, $7 for the car bomb.
$12, right? Yeah.
He'd hand a 20 and say, keep the change. So that's an $8 tip.
For who's ever working the bar, yeah.
Every time we saw him, his beer get low, if he started walking, we would start pouring his drink. Didn't matter if there was a line 10 deep.
You saw it coming.
I saw it coming, and we just wave him over to the side. And he'd get his drink there instead of waiting in the line.
See, that's going to make a good night, because there's nothing that kind of shits on a good night a little bit is if you're at a bar all night and you're constantly waiting on drinks. Now, the reason why you're waiting on drinks is you're probably a shitty tipper.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what you want to be, that's fine. But don't expect it to have great service, and don't expect people to bend over backwards for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do commentary.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay. No, it's great, but yeah, tipping.
It's huge, man. It's huge. Like, can I say one of mine? Then you go.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Go right ahead.
Now, this kind of goes along with the tipping thing too. Is don't expect free stuff.
Oh.
Okay, like that's the worst. Like, don't expect to go out to a bar with your friends, expect them to buy you a round and then buy another round, and then you go home. You're 7-8 beers deep, and you haven't paid for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect that. That's a douchebag move. Mm-hmm. Okay. Expect to, when you go to the bar, you're going to pay for every one of your drinks, every one of your ladies' drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Bring cash. And bring your credit card. But here's another thing. One thing I've learned, don't always use your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Bring cash. Stop by the ATM on your way out. Mm-hmm. Grab, you know, 20.
Helps you budget yourself a lot
exactly.
better, too.
Bring out 40, 50 bucks. You know, if you got the cash, you got to blow around. I mean, 50 bucks will get you out a pretty good night. What? If you're drinking beer all night, if you're not drinking
yeah.
beer. Okay, if you're just drinking, if you're limiting yourself to drinking beer all night, you're going to have a halfway decent night drinking. That's like, you know, what, 10 beers. Mm-hmm. I mean, figure it, right? So, I mean, 10 beers for me, I'm... singing,
at this point,
I'm singing "You Lost, I Love and Feel." So, budget yourself. But don't always use your credit card, because bars pay to have those machines,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a pain in the ass. And the bartender doesn't always get the tip right away. Give her cash; she gets to take that home at the end of the night. I've dated bartenders; they trust me. They count on every single cash tip that they get, whether it's a dollar, whether it's, you know, 50 cents. Everything makes a difference. Trust me. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
oh,
Dan.
No, don't be sorry.
I got it.
Another great one, and I've got a perfect story to go with this one, too.
Oh, please.
You know it.
I do.
When you, especially in a busy bar,
okay,
when you're standing in line and the bartender asks you, what do you want?
You're right. I do know this story.
Know what you want, because there's nothing more annoying as a bartender, especially the way the bar I worked at was set up. All of our taps were on the wall behind the bar.
Oh, yeah.
So you could see exactly what we had.
And it's not like from where the taps were to the actual bar, it was less than 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you couldn't see them.
And I always loved, in the middle of a busy Friday night, what do you got on tap? And then, indubitably, I list the 15 beers we have on tap. All of a Bud Light.
I want to put my fist in your fucking eye socket.
And this was my favorite coworker when I worked at Chris.
You can say her name.
I'm going to. It was my work wife. Her name was Jess. She was hilarious and awesome. She was a smart ass. And
dude,
when people would come up, especially when it was busy, she'd ask them what they'd want, and they'd say, I'll have, And her response would be, I'm fresh out of I'll be right back. I'm going to take care of another customer. That's legitimately what she would say.
And she's that kind of person that would do that, too. Like, she doesn't give a fuck.
No, and the customers most of the time would love it. But the point is, when you, especially when it's busy, when you get served, know what you want already.
Like, you should know, like, it's not, unless it's your first time going to a bar, like, you should know what your drink of choice is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know before, if Danny and I were going to go out drinking, which we don't drink as much mm-hmm. as we used to.
No, I don't drink at all.
But, like, if I'm going to just a regular bar, not like a crap brewery or anything like that, if I'm going to a regular bar, I know there's probably 2 or 3 things that I'm going to get. I'm going to stay away from the Budweisers. I'm probably going to go for some kind of craft beer, whether like Big Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm usually going for an amber beer or like a Hefeweizen or something.
I'm going for a stout.
Or if I'm really feeling kind of like I want to let go, whiskey sour, something like that, no garnish. That's usually my drink of choice.
For me, it was always Guinness or Scotch on the rocks.
Yeah, or just I'll either get a whiskey sour, maybe Scotch on the rocks. But if I'm just doing a beer mm-hmm. night, okay, which everybody you need every once mm-hmm. in a while, I'm going for an amber beer. I'm going for a Hefeweizen, something where it's got a little bit of bulk to it, a wheat beer, you know, mm-hmm. something like that, where I know I'm going to get, you know, a good bang for my buck. I don't mm-hmm. mind paying a little extra for it either.
Yeah,
but Budweiser to me is just mule piss. So,
mm-hmm.
But. As Danny was saying, like, there's no greater douchebag move. I mean, there's probably a bunch of greater ones, but
yeah.
it's up there.
It's really annoying to the staff.
order. You should know what you want. Like, get up there. Like, and that's another thing. Like, when people go into McDonald's and, like, you're standing behind them and they're just looking at the menu like it's their first time in McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you want yet, don't stand in line.
You're holding everybody
off to the side.
Assholes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Dan. You can continue.
No, it's all good. Another one that would drive me up a wall, which I had to deal with all the freaking time because of the area I was at. If someone's doing something, don't snap your fingers, whistle,
don't pound click. On the table. Don't pound on the table.
Don't do anything like that to get their attention.
Because it's only gonna make it worse for you.
Yeah, and if you're getting a mixed drink, it's gonna make it even weaker.
Yeah. That's another thing. Telling them, don't, hey, can you pour it kind of heavy?
Oh, I hated that. I hated that when someone said.
See, here's the worst part of that. Like, you are not a bartender, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, no offense, obviously, but you were a bar back and security guy. So hearing, can you imagine being like Jessica or the other bartenders that they had there? They're like, what?
Like, usually?
She would complain about that all the time. Like, really?
I would usually make it weaker.
I don't fucking know you.
I would usually make it weaker.
Oh, yeah, just to piss them off.
Mm-hmm. And then they'd be like, oh, that's so good.
You were out of your
mind. Or there's actually a trick you can do, too. You can pour it lighter and put some in the straw at the end. So then that first sip that they get is like straight booze.
Oh, so then they make, okay.
So then they think it's that strong.
You tell her that we talk about her on the show all the time, especially when we talk about bar stuff?
I don't think so.
Okay. I wasn't.
I haven't really talked to her much. Yeah.
I see her on Facebook every once in a while, but like, anyway, she's probably going to, I'll tell her like, hey, look, we had a bar etiquette episode that you were a big part of.
If you want to just play it on loop at Crix.
Just tell her, hey, look, oh, is that you, Danny? I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I was like, look, you're kind of a big part of this episode. Like, no, nothing. We did a bar etiquette episode and you're the only bartender we really know. So
she's the best bartender.
Yeah, the best bartender we know. So we figured we might as well just use you as an example.
Oh, I was including even outside of people that we know.
True. Okay. Can I go to one? I think
go
that,
right ahead.
That I think as far as being a gentleman is concerned, I think this is kind of a big one. Like I said, there are bigger ones, but this is kind of up there. When it comes to buying a woman a drink, now we've all done it. Like, can I tell you one quick story though that I've done before? I'm sure other people have done it, but I've almost kind of perfected it in a way. Like, I'll be out at a bar with my friends. This is one of my younger years, obviously. I wouldn't do this now. I would go up to like a, you know, say the liquor lounge here in Holiday or whatever and see a, you know, group of girls at a table, and I'd be a couple beers in. I'd be like, I'm gonna try to go, you know, hit on these girls or whatever, right? Like, oh, the whole table. This is like, see, liquid courage will make you do weird stuff. So I go up to the table, like, hey, I want to buy you guys a round of drinks. And like, oh, that's great, thank you so much. And they'd be all like, all happy. I'm like, you want to know what we got? They're like, no, I got it. I saw you guys already. I know what you got. I'll take care of it. Just sit tight. So then I would have the waitress pour a pitcher of water. And take it over to the table. And you're all like, what? And I'm like, stay hydrated. With all that alcohol, you're going to get dehydrated. Here we go. I bought you guys a round of drinks.
You.
It's on me.
You genius bastard, you. I'm glad I never knew that one because I would have gotten in so much trouble with
man.
It.
Oh, man. It didn't. It sometimes it went well. Sometimes it went horrible. But anyway.
Like any can.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, when it comes to buying a woman a drink, don't buy one unless... you ask her first. Like, don't just, like, sending drinks from across the bar is creepy.
Yeah.
Like, and it might seem like something cool because you've seen it in a movie, like, oh, the guy down at the end of the bar bought you a drink, and then you kind of, like, raise hands, like, no, that's creepy, which means that he's staring at you from afar, okay? Now, if he's staring at you from afar in a bar, which that sounds like a Dr. Seuss rhyme, he's going to be staring outside your window, like, at your house on the way back, and he's going to jerk off in the bushes, okay? Mm-hmm. No. When you want to buy a lady a drink, be a man, walk over there. Hey, my name is Robert or whatever. I'd like to buy you a drink. And she says, yes, that's great. All right. Be a man and buy her a drink, whatever she wants, and get after it. Now she says no. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, it was nice talking to you. See you later.
Take it as that and leave it.
And leave it. And do not come past her again for the rest of the night.
Yep.
Don't even try. Like, if you see her going to the bathroom, you stay away from her. Don't try to brush past her. Don't go past her table. Leave her the hell alone.
Yep.
Because if she thinks you're going to come back over, it's just going to make things worse.
Mm-hmm. There were several times I had female customers ask, have me walk them out because they felt uncomfortable because someone
said, you know, was just constantly on top of them.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing screams rapist in something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they're going to think if you're coming by again, you're probably going to put something in their drink. I mean, there's, I mean, women, God only knows how, what is running through their head.
They have to deal with men.
Yeah. Men are fucking weird, man. Yeah,
that's why you should be a gentleman.
Yeah, exactly. Stop doing that stuff. Danny, you want to go ahead and take the next one,
bro? Yeah. One of the largest ones that I definitely want to push.
We keep saying that. They're all kind of
big. Yeah, they're ones. All very large
they're
ones.
All, they're all large okay, ones.
This one isn't that much of a larger one, I guess. But it's especially where an open bar is. Where an open bar is concerned, know your limit.
Yeah,
nobody
likes
no one likes that obscenely plastered 8 sheets to the wind person. Know your limit and know how to stop. That was always my problem, was knowing how to stop.
Yes.
But you really have to know. And that's why one of the large reasons I quit was because I didn't know how to stop. And one tip for when you're at an open bar.
I mean, like where there's open
like
bar.
If you're at a wedding with open bar.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Me, I'm a Scotch on the rocks guy. When I was somewhere that had an open bar, I was a rum and coke guy. The reason behind that, you order a drink that you like, but isn't your favorite, so that you don't drink as much.
Gotcha.
So you don't get something you hate.
You get something you can tolerate.
You get something you can deal with, but isn't your favorite. And the reason? Because you won't have as much.
And you won't. And you'll learn, like, oh, God, I'm getting sick of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of thing. I get it. That's a pretty good one. I like that one. This one kind of goes along with the don't buy a woman a drink unless you ask her first. When you're at a bar, like everybody, I mean, we know what we're there for. We're there to have a good time, have a little party, chat with friends, catch up, that sort of thing.
Sing karaoke to songs from Top Gun.
What we should have done, it was the Kenny Loggins once. That's what we should have done.
No, it wasn't enough danger.
It could have been.
No.
Later that night, there was. We should have done Highway to the Danger Zone.
Highway to.
I think we totally could have rocked that. Danger Zone. We got to stop talking about that. Anyway, this, like I said, this goes along the lines of the don't buy a woman a drink unless you ask her. Like I said, we all know what we're at a bar for. A lot of times I've seen this, especially in adult entertainment establishments, once a guy gets a few beers in, maybe a six pack, gets a little handsy, kind of, gets a little. A little grab-assy, And I mean, when you work in an adult entertainment establishment like that, I mean, the dancers there, they're still humans. Yeah, that's what they do. I get it. But that doesn't make them any less human, okay? Mm-hmm. And they don't like unwanted grabbing attention. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, just because they take their clothes off for a living, I mean, I'm not saying that, that's not something I would personally want my girlfriend or wife to be doing, but hey, everybody has their own thing.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm the last person to tell anybody else how to live. But also to keep your hands to yourself. Even if you're not even at a strip club, and you're at a bar.
If you're at a regular bar, please keep your hands to yourself. It's very awkward.
Stop grab-assing. Keep your hands to yourself.
I worked at a bar on ladies' night. How do you think I felt?
Ugh. Gross.
Like, guys would do it as a joke, and we'd laugh, but then.
And then it starts getting creepy. No.
And I just want to go out from behind the bar.
Yeah, then you want to throw them out.
Yeah.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Don't give me no lines.
We have to stop singing on the show. This is the second time we've done this.
Within like 2 minutes.
2 minutes. That's all we talked about.
Okay, those are two classic songs. You cannot tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not saying that you are.
K-Log and...
K-Log?
Kenny Loggins.
I know, but why did you call him that, though?
You don't watch Archer.
I've seen the Archer episode where he pretends like he's Tom Cruise. Yeah, I've seen that.
No, that's not the one. There's actually an episode with Kenny Loggins.
Really?
And he insists on being called K-Log.
Oh, my God. that's nuts. Okay, Dan, you got any more?
Yeah.
Okay. There's one really, I think out of all the ones, there's one that's really, 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 really fucking important. Mm-hmm. We'll do that last.
Yeah.
But I think we got about two more.
Yeah, Dan, we got a few more. I really want to kind of harp on this one. Freaking tip.
We talked about that
earlier. I know, but you have no idea how often I had to deal with people who didn't tip.
I can't imagine, knowing Jessica the way that I do, I can't imagine she would tolerate that for much longer.
Unfortunately, she had to.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something like a ladies' night where women drink free and you're a woman, you still need to tip.
They wouldn't do that?
No.
Oh, they're just there for the free booze.
Yes.
What do they expect to happen? Like,
they expect to get drunk for free, which unfortunately had to happen. We would start making their drink softer and softer when
I would hope so.
Tip, but
God, my ass is getting numb in this chair. I got a bony butt. I guess I'm doing squats again. Really?
Yeah. Well, then again, look at where Crick's is.
Ugh. Right across from the gas station. What a horrible location that is. I'm going to go over. Are you good on yours? Yeah. I got like three. Okay, you're good. Okay. I'm going to go over three more, I think. We're at around 25 minutes, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Yeah, we're like 24 minutes. So we got about three more, and we'll talk about some other things, too. Mm-hmm. I think we'll kind of go off on a little bit tangent here. This is probably might be a
us
little
on a tangent?
Yeah, really. What the hell is all that about? Well, this is probably going to be a shorter episode this week. So the three that I got remaining are basically you have to remember that at the end of the night, these people that work at the bar go home to families. They go home to kids. They go home to loved ones, husbands, boyfriends, or girlfriends, whether, I mean, what kind of bar you're at, you know. They have lives, and like all that money that you know you put into the bar doesn't, I mean, it's not going to, I mean, as, how do I say, it doesn't go to promote any weird habits. It goes to promote to pay for rent, pay for cell phones, gas getting there.
Most of the time.
I mean, there are those cases where, you know, it promotes a habit, you know, like for more getting more drunk or drugs. And that does happen. We've seen that happen.
Yeah.
But most of the time, most of the people that work in the bar are there because that's what they do. Like they support and they support
their profession.
That's their profession. They support a family that way. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm getting towards on that is that the point you have to remember is that they're human beings. Okay. And they're not going to settle for anything less. So when you're at a bar and you're ordering drinks and you're talking to somebody, remind your manners, okay? Say thank you. Say please. Don't say, can I get? Don't say that. Like, I hate when people say that to me. Oh, hey, can I get this? No.
Like, I think I heard Jess say that exact thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's the one that said that to me. She's like, don't say that. Like, she didn't tell me not to say it, but like, I heard her say that. Some guy walked up to the bar. This is obviously years ago.
Yeah.
And she said, some guy goes, hey, can I get? No. And she turned around and walked away. And she's like, when you come to my bar, you ask politely. And the guy just like, whoa.
One thing that I've always kind of liked is a just pondering thought is a real easy way to tell the character of a person.
Yeah.
Is to see how they treat someone who can do nothing for them.
Exactly.
And that includes hospitality.
Oh yeah, when you see somebody talking, you know, talking smack to a server or a waitress or you know, bartender, you know they're probably a scumbag. But like when I was saying, like, say, hey, can I please have, or you know, I will take one of these, or can you please get me this? You know, it's being courteous goes a hell of a long way. Okay, you might not be the heaviest of tipper, but they're going to remember that, hey, this one's actually not a douche.
This person appreciates me.
Yeah. Like, I'm not just somebody who's going and getting a piss bucket for them. I'm getting them drinks. They're being nice. I'm being nice back. And it makes a much more comfortable experience. Now, obviously, we've hung out some pretty crappy bars, and we've hung out some higher-end bars. And honestly, at the higher-end bars that I've been to, they don't put up with anything less.
Nope.
They will throw your ass out and not even think about it. They don't need your money.
Second.
Because they got people waiting to get in. And, like, if you want to be a dick, that's great. Go do it at the dive bar. Don't do it here. And they will kick your ass. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. I've been the one to do the kicking out.
Yeah.
Like, get him out of here. Like, he's being a dick. Like, okay. Like, and then I have to go up to them and they'll be like, well, hey, like, I'm sorry, sir. I have to ask you to leave. I go, well, hey, man, what did I do? Like, well, you're kind of being an asshole. And they're like, well, what did I do? And then I was like, this, that, and the other thing. And I knew I was there for all of it. So, like, I'm like, dude, we don't tolerate that here. You need to leave. And usually I kind of give them the choice. Like, we can do this as easy or as difficult as you want. I'll leave it up to you.
You can leave, or I can help you walk out of here and we can accidentally break a chair on your hip.
I said, I can lead you out of here, or I can use your head to lead you out of here. And usually most of the time I don't let it get up to that point. Like I usually say, sir, if you politely leave, we can make this as easy or as difficult as you wish. I'm good with either one. And then when they see that I don't have a zero blank stare in my face, they know I mean business, and they get the hell out. Because I'm a pretty big guy, and I'm pretty intimidating when I'm, you know, in your face like that. And I've used a lot of people's head to break a lot of things.
My favorite way of always, because I didn't really have to kick people out. It was more physical altercations.
Yeah, same here.
And my favorite way, I was really good at picking out when situations
you knew
about
when
to
something was
going to
get shit. Yeah.
And my favorite way, because it was obvious that I worked there, I kept myself in a professional appearance.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And
you know, I've gone there when you know when you were working. I mean, you always look like you belong there.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I'd just watch. I'd walk within like 5 feet of it, and I just like cross my arms. And this was when I had my long hair and I had a full beard and everything. So I was relatively intimidating. I think I was about 240 at the time.
Yeah, you were a little bit bigger back then.
And so I was just stand there with my arms crossed watching. And eventually one of the people, one of their friends would notice and just tap the one person on the arm and be like, yo.
This guy don't give a shit.
And it would stop.
Real quick. Yeah.
Like nothing.
That's happened. Like a guy I used to, when I trained to, when I was working at one strip club, I trained this one guy. He was 6'6", 360. And I'm not talking about fat either. This guy can move quick. I mean, he had a 40 time of 4.4. I'm not even kidding. Like he got the only reason he didn't play college football is because he broke his ankle his senior year. He had 6 full rides to 6 top 10 schools.
Jeez.
I mean, he was as a starting lineman. I mean, he was 6'6", 360, and can move faster than most running backs could. He was this kid was the lightning. A white guy too. His name was Kelly. I'll never forget his name. This huge dude, and I've seen him pick up guys without even like Undertaker style, and just hold them up over his head by their throat and throw them through the door. And I'm standing back in awe, and like there's been situations where, like I don't know if I can handle this all on my own. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is like Kelly, and everybody's like everybody would kind of turn around and like kind of look up, see Kelly looking down, and everything kind of all right, man, cool.
We're cool.
We're cool. Everybody's kind of shaking hands. Everybody's going off. Okay, so the next thing, especially at a busy bar, I know this is. I think a lot of these are for busy bars. I think it, you know, that sort of thing. Was every time I've gone to a bar, it's been usually pretty busy. I don't try to go out during the week because I have to work.
Yeah.
But be patient. They will get to you. They see you up there. They know what it looks like to when somebody wants a drink.
Yeah, their drink is in front of them empty.
Yeah, so they got it. And also, too, be patient and bring your empties up to the damn bar. Don't leave them on the table. Bring them up to the bar. There's obviously waste baskets throughout the bar. Mm. Throw them in those. It's not that big of a deal.
If it's a bottle, don't be like throwing out the glassware.
Don't be throwing the glassware. But if it's a glassware, bring it up to the bar. They appreciate that, trust me. But like
I said, seriously, just mini rant.
Go ahead.
Don't take the freaking glassware.
What?
You know how many shot glasses we would go through at Crick's because people would take them? It was an obscene amount. We were ordering like a box a week when it was busy. Yeah, because people would just pocket them, put them in their purse.
I've seen those glasses. They're nothing to shake a stick at.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Okay. That's just insane. So, I think lastly, I think probably the most important one. I know we said that a couple times already. But the most important one.
Tip.
Yeah. Besides, tipping's number two. This is number one. Okay. Before you go to the bar, okay, make sure everybody has a safe ride home. Now that's something you need to plan beforehand. Like, hey,
yep.
If I get, you know, who's double D'ing tonight, who's doing this, blah, blah, blah. And also too, if somebody's willing to be the double D on a group full of drunk people, he doesn't pay for a goddamn thing.
He wants food. Someone else buys it.
Yeah.
He wants soda. Someone else buys it.
Yeah. Usually like when you buy a soda bar, they give you free refills.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
especially if they can tell you're in a large group and you're the DD.
Yeah. Like, or make sure you well known that, but make sure also too, everybody's got a safe ride home, whether you got a double D, you got cab rides lined up, or even nowadays Uber, you know, that sort of thing. I've been thinking about doing that Uber kind of, you know, being an Uber driver like on the weekends, like the days I don't have my boy. Mm-hmm. Make sure everybody gets a safe ride home. There is nothing worse. Like I woke up to those phone calls or those texts. Hey, have you seen so-and-so? And then you find out they were in an accident and they're at the hospital and they, you know, they're close to death. There's nothing worse than getting that phone call at, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning when you're sleeping off a hangover and, you know, your buddy's in the hospital because, you know, something bad happened and nobody made sure you got a home. Okay. Now it's not a vagina sort of thing to do to make sure, hey, means you get home. Okay.
Yeah.
Everything cool. Text me when you get home.
Yeah, not at
all. Everybody. I mean, whether if you're a group of guys, a group of chicks, you know, a mixed bag, I want everybody texting me when you get home, or you know, text somebody to make sure that everybody knows that you got home safe. There's no drink and no bar, no person, no nothing is least important than you getting home safe and sound. That way, you can go back and everybody can see you again. I don't care what anybody says; nothing's worth that. No drink, no nothing, no having fun, no party time. No concert or whatever. Make sure your boys get a ride home. Make sure your ladies get a ride home. Whether it's your lady yourself or you got a group of girlfriends or whatever the case may be, get them home safe. That's the most important rule. hands down.
Or you know someone who will give you a ride.
Exactly. Make sure, but like, but make sure that's all set up prior to going.
Yeah.
Like, how am I getting home tonight? Okay. Well, you're double D'ing, or like when we used to go hogging, we had two double D's. You know, one guy would be one car, one guy would be the other car. I'm not going to explain hogging to everybody. if you don't know what it is, I'm sorry.
It took me a minute to remember what it is.
Yeah, we're not doing it.
You know, yeah, not on this show.
Not on this show. I can't believe I brought that fucking up. But, you know, we had two guys. You know, mm-hmm. we had two cars. Everybody went in two cars. One guy's a double D in one car. One guy's the other D in double D in the other car. And they didn't have to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. We paid for their way into a, you know, if we were going to the roundup or something, and we paid for their way to get we were paying for their way to get in. We paid them for, you know, bought food on the way home, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Because drunks will give you money for anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I learned that a long time ago. But yeah, that's probably the most important. Make sure everybody gets a good ride home. Everybody gets back home safe. Everybody checks in with each other the next day.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody's home safe just to be sure. Even though you know they got home safe, check on them. Make sure they're cool. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
That is something I want to stress to the younger people. Don't be afraid to try and get a DD. Even if you're not going to use it, just be like, hey, even some of the younger people, like I work with some younger people, some younger kids, and everyone knows there's parties. And there's libations at parties, of course.
Well, I like how you said libations. That's nice. Yeah. That's classy, buddy.
Yeah, dollar word right there.
I'm proud of you. Yes,
I offer it to any of my friends that might go.
Oh, my close friends, and you know, and you should mm-hmm. know this by now. If you're at a place and you need to ride home, you fucking call me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care what time it is. And if I don't care, if I got to take my son with me too to make sure you get home, call me.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my friends got my number.
Mm-hmm.
And like, or you can hit me up on Facebook. I'll answer my, you know me, I'm always mm-hmm. on my damn phone.
It's just, don't be ashamed to ask for it.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people are just like, oh, I don't want to bother. I'm like, that's nuts.
No, it's not a bother. And it's not.
Not when I can make sure you get home safe and not watch, mm-hmm. not bury you in 2 weeks. You yes. know what I'm saying? Like, after you come out of a, you know, didn't come out of a coma.
Don't be ashamed.
Yeah.
To ask for it.
I think that's an excellent point. That's an mm-hmm. excellent point.
Because, like, some of my coworkers are younger. I work with some 18, 19-year-olds.
And they don't know, you know.
And they go to parties. They don't know their limits.
No,
if they go to
yet.
A party, they might not know their limits. And, I mean, nobody wants anyone they know to go through that or their family to go through that. Because God's forbid something does happen to you if you go out for a night of libations and you drive home and you get in an accident. God's
forbid. Pulled over, you know, like
or pulled over.
DUI, man, you're done. You're done.
You don't want
bro.
Your family to go through that.
No, you don't want the police to call your mom or call your dad and be like, "Hey, look, we
need you to identify
we
a
need
body.
We need you to come down to the identify a body." Like I've lived through that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell one story about something I went through when I was about 19 years old. When I was 19, I was living in Michigan. Right, I worked at this hospital as a security guard. Probably one of the best jobs I ever had. You know, I left to move back down here. I wasn't anything out of malice. They loved me. I was an instructor in the training they had there. I was a really good job. I had my own apartment. I, you know, had a 600 square foot apartment, which is a little bit bigger than the place I have now. Hmm. And I paid like $425 a month. It was a downstairs basement apartment. I had free heat and water. My highest power bill during the summertime was $22. I think my lowest was like $6 during the winter. I mean, it was just crazy, right? I was making like $11-$12 an hour working the security job. You know, and I worked 9 at night till 8 o'clock in the morning. And like usually about 6 hours of it was driving around in a Jeep, like a Jeep Cherokee, driving around in circles through all the buildings.
Wow.
And like waiting for calls to come, like somebody, you know, we need to sign out a body or mm-hmm. A nurse needed a ride to her, wanted a ride to her car. And we pick them up the front and we drive them to the car and mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. And it wasn't the, you know, like you see security guards. Now we had handcuffs, we had pepper spray, we had batons. Some of us were armed. I mean, it was a halfway. And this was in the town that was called Saginaw, Michigan. This is where emergency medicine started. Like, there wouldn't be ERs without mm-hmm. Saginaw, Michigan starting it all, okay? I'm sure it would have came along sooner, but they were the first.
Yeah.
They were the first, and it was a gang town. And it used to be like that when I grew up there when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But within 10 or 15 years of me leaving, it became a gang town. Mm-hmm. And they lowered, you know, they cut the police force, and it just got worse, okay? So, like, I've seen, you know, gang members throw their buddy out of the back door and then take off, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I get back to what I was saying. It's about, like, you know, the reason I'm bringing this up is about, you know, you don't want your parents coming down and identifying you. When I was 19, it was 4th of July, okay? And we had extra security on because the hotel parking lots, the river that ran through the town would have a barge, like a huge like tanker barge, and then the fireworks would go off over the barge, and you could see it from over the whole town, right? So me and my buddy Steve were up on the roof watching the fireworks, watching everything down below, making sure nobody's getting out of hand. And it was, we had radios and we had units on the ground. If mm-hmm. the thing were to happen, we could point it out.
Yeah.
So fireworks gets over with. And all of a sudden we get a call on the radio. Hey, look, we got a code red coming in, 20 people. All right. And there's this older guy doing the dispatch. So we're like, oh, hell, this is about to break loose. So Steve and I run down to the emergency room and he goes, correction, it's not 20 people, it's two. And so anyway, the ambulance, I mean, literally comes in on two wheels. I mean, two wheels all coming around the corner. I mean, as soon as we get down in the air, they're pulling in. Mm-hmm. We saw, I mean, jump down. I mean, mm-hmm. Two wheels, no bullshit. Wow. So they opened the doctors and the nurses opened the back door, and I see and I actually knew the EMT personally, pumping on this kid. You see his legs broken. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid's 19 years old. And they go and they work on him for probably about 45 minutes, and they had to call it. And this 19-year-old kid, and he actually was a boyfriend to the sister of one of the nurses working that night.
Oof.
Okay. So the reason I'm telling you this story is, like, here's what happened. The 19-year-old kid, his parents, it was the first time that he didn't celebrate the holiday with his folks. His parents went to a place called All Gray, which is about 2 hours north of Saginaw. It's a lodge town. You know, it's like a hunting town.
Mm-hmm.
They had a cottage up there, and they were watching the fireworks over Lake Huron. Okay. So the kid got drunk. Okay. 19-year-old kid got drunk and then was stumbling back to his car and stepped out in traffic and got hit by a van.
Ugh.
Okay. So then the lady of the van didn't know she hit anybody because she was drunk herself. So she kept on going. And then she actually killed another person that night later on. They had another code red come in. Same lady. This time it was like a 30-year-old guy walking down the street, probably 2 or 3 miles from the hospital. Oh, and so, like I said, and then here's the worst part of it. So they call him. His parents are 3 hours away. And by Michigan law, you cannot tell parents over the phone what happened. Now, all of his friends are there. They saw him come in on the ambulance. All his mm-hmm. friends are out in the waiting room. We can't tell. Like, I know what the kid's dead. Okay? Mm-hmm. I know. I saw him die. So I can't tell any of his friends. They're like, hey, can we go see him? I want to make sure he's okay. I'm like, I can't let you back there, dude. I just can't. Especially on that something that high, right?
Yeah.
And his parents come in a couple hours. You know, actually, they heard the news. They rush down there. Obviously, any parent would.
Mm-hmm.
They get down there. I'm standing outside the waiting room. I hear the doctor tell his dad, who was probably about your size. And then I watch his dad stand up, turn around, and put his hand through the wall. And I'm not talking about just through the, like, just punching the wall. Mm-hmm. He put his hand into the next room and grabbed some of the gear off the, because it was a patient room, mm-hmm. grabbed some of the gear and yanked it back through. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh my God. So, obviously then his dad and mom walk out and they just say he's gone. And you just see 20 teenagers just lose their shit. I mean, everybody's on the floor crying hysterically. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying not to cry myself because, like, I'm the same age as this guy, you know, at this point. It's like, no, I mean, that was the point. I was going to be like, I am never not going to know how I'm going to get home.
Mm, that's, you know,
like, and that was like, and that's how he was driving home. And none of his friends, you know, as great as they thought they were, they didn't make sure he was okay. So like, he was going to go home and drive home like that way. And so like now, you know, I can't, you know, I couldn't do that. And, like, so I, you know, from that point forward, anytime I went out with my friends, like, who's Dean, you know, who's whatever, you know, like, I always made sure I found out how I was getting home. Then I could get a little bit more crazy, but I knew somebody was there to take care yeah. of me. This kid had no idea he was just going to drive home. Nobody did that. So, like, I even thinking about it now, I just remember seeing that kid's leg just kind of off. Mm. And, like, you can see where it was broken right below the knee.
Mm.
You just see it was off, and they're pumping on his chest. I knew the EMT that was doing it. Mm-hmm. I knew the guy personally, like I said, and he was standing over just pumping on him. And they were doing it for shocking them and all this stuff outside the yard room. It's just like, fuck, man, it ain't worth it, dude. It ain't worth it to ask mm-hmm. your. It takes 10 seconds to ask your buddy, like, hey, man, how you getting home? You going to be all right? Like, okay, I just did it right now, mm-hmm. less than 5 seconds. Like, then if not, you take care of your boys. You know, that's another thing about being a gentleman. Like, when you got a close group of friends that are loyal to each other,
mm-hmm.
you take care of them and they take care of you. And that's how that works. You know, loyalty means everything. You know, if you don't have friends who are loyal, get them the hell out of your life. You know, like, I know if I called you and I was drunk, you'd come get me.
Oh, hands down.
And same thing with you. If you call me like, hey, man, I'm in a tough spot, I need you to come get me. The truck broke down.
Freaking South St. Pete at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. And if you need a ride from me, you goddamn call. And it goes with any one of my friends, anybody listening to this show who knows me personally mm-hmm. and knows my phone number. You got my number. You know me on Facebook. Call me. I'll be there no matter what.
And if someone does ask you that, make sure you don't bring it up.
No, that's exactly. That's a good point to make too. don't bring it up. Don't make
so
a,
don't
make a
make
scene out of it.
Jokes about it.
Well, hey man, remember you were shit faced? And I was like, no, that's dumb. That's a dumb thing to do. Don't do that. Be respectful. Know that they call you because they need your help, and leave it as that. And the next day, make sure that, you know, when if you're just taking them home and you're going back to your house, or you need to sleep on their couch and make sure they don't do anything else stupid, that's fine. Wake up, make sure they're okay. Once you know they're okay, all right, it's time for you to go. You know, like, just get
and
out
never
of there.
Mention it again.
Yeah, never mention it. It's not. It's
everyone
not the
will. Of, everyone will respect that.
Exactly. Nobody's gonna like the guy like, oh, remember that time I, you know, I had to drive down to, you know, blah blah blah, 2 o'clock in the morning to save your ass. I didn't, but now I do. So thank you. You know, like. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to talk about how my parents died. You know, like it's the same. It's the same feeling. You know, like it's just I wouldn't do that. You know, but anyway, so we're gonna go ahead and wrap up this week's show. Let's how many? Well, actually, it went pretty longer than I thought I was going to. Yeah. We're at like 44 minutes.
Oh wow!
So Dan, I'm gonna let you take what we got going on for next week because it was actually your idea.
The next episode will be about kind of similar to this, how we did bar etiquette.
Yeah,
we're gonna do dining etiquette.
Like just like regular restaurants or just
like when you go out on a date or even with family or anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When you go out on a dining experience, not like this fork is this fork is this.
No. Like the shrimp fork and the salad fork. No, it doesn't work that way.
Nothing like that. Just general etiquette when you go out to eat.
I think so.
Far too many people
don't do that.
Understand it.
We could, you know, what we could also do is not only the dead, but like what wines to pair with certain meals. I think a lot of people don't know that yet. We could probably do something like that. What do you think?
I think that might.
I mean, just like kind of food, well. Like kind of little food tricks. From working in, you know, hospitality, as long as we have little food tricks that we could, you know, people don't necessarily pick up on, like what wines go with fish and what
meat
wines go
goes
with, meat.
With everything.
Yeah, you had me in meat tornado. anyway, so make sure you guys stay tuned for our next week's show after this, where we talk about dinner etiquette, what to do when you go out to a dinner with either with your lady or the group of friends or whatever that's whatever the case may be. Also, real quick, we got to mention our sponsors one more time, as we didn't do in the beginning of the show. Make sure you go and check out Beastly Beard Care. They're one of our new sponsors, based out of Illinois. Another one that Dan's a huge fan of, I can tell already, is the Armstrong's All Natural. All of their stuff is all natural, as the name provides. All local growers from New York. Even their packaging can be recycled or composted. Like, I think that's kind of, that's kind of awesome. And, like, so you make them, check them out. Like I said, you find them on Facebook, Beastly Beard Care, Armstrong is All Natural. They got Instagram pages too. And each one of them has a link to their website on each one, so you can buy their stuff. Also make sure when you go to Armstrong's All Natural, if you enter the promo code Zen, you get 15% off your order. When you go to Beastly Beard Care, you enter the code free ship. We pay for the shipping for you. Now, with Royal Blood Designs, mention the gentleman, and I think Jackson will take care of you, too. Mention that you heard us on the podcast, and he'll do something cool for you. I promise you that he will. He will not rest. Trust me.
He's incredible.
I do a lot of stuff with him, and trust me, he will not rest until everything's right, okay? So make sure you go check them out, Beastly Beard Care, Armstrong's All Natural, Royal Blood Designs. And make sure you go find our Facebook page, too. That's kind of important. We don't have a whole lot of likes in there, but we're getting a lot of people listening, which is good.
And we post pretty often.
I think so. I think we post probably about 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, how to guys, we've got some videos coming up that we're doing here soon. Go and check that out. Facebook.com/ZOG podcast. That's all one word. That's a Zen of Gentlemen podcast. You can find us also on Instagram. My name is Zen Gent Chris. So ZENGENT Chris. And then I post, you know, stuff about the show, about my personal life. I'm also a photographer. I'm also a father, first and foremost. I am a writer as well, so I post a lot of my writings, and they're usually like lost lyrics I wrote down while I was driving one day. So go and check us out. Find us on Facebook. Dan's on Instagram as well.
I don't really do any podcast stuff on my Instagram.
No.
It's mostly my
your
scenic
stuff.
And my woodworking.
Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna close it up for this week. We kind of ran a little bit longer than we expected, but Dan, you got anything else to say before we go?
Yeah, I want to kind of switch it up a little bit. Usually we close with a quote. And I had a quote lined up and everything, so I'm not taking the scapegoat's way out. But I don't really want to close with a quote. I just really want, if you want to listen to a quote, listen to Chris's story that he told with the hospital. That's the reason I'm not doing a quote, because that is such a moving story.
It's absolutely true, man. I'll never forget as long as I live.
So listen back to that, because that's just heart-wrenching.
Oh man, it was like I could still hear his family just losing their shit. Like I could still hear it in my head. Like I had nightmares about it for years afterwards, and I at that time, my dad and I were actually pretty good friends. And I just remember I kept thinking about, like, what if that was my dad? And like, what would he do? Like, what if my parents, like, at that time, my parents were divorced. Mm-hmm. So my mom lived in Florida. I lived in Michigan. My dad lived in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Like, what would my parents be doing? You know, they couldn't say anything to anybody until, you know, my mom was up there, and that could be a day. Oof. You know, like, you can't do anything, you know? This sucks.
So that's my closing quote for this episode. All right, cool.
So we'll hope we didn't bring everything down on a bad note. But like, like I said, we gave you some tips this week about how to, you know, do things better at a bar. Just some simple tips to help make your bar experience a little bit better. Once you have a good experience at a bar and you treat your bar staff well, you'll have a much better experience on top of that.
Yes.
And it's always fun going out drinking with your friends, having a good time. But when your bartenders and your bar staff are in there with you, trust me, it makes things a hell of a lot better. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and close the show out for this week. And like I said, make sure you tune in next week for all the dining etiquette tips we're going to give. We got a lot of great things coming up with the show, guys. We're really going to start advertising more. So you're going to be seeing a lot more Zen of Gentlemen stuff. We're going to be doing some more how-to videos. Dan's got one coming out. It should have been came out already.
But it should already be out.
Talking about the boot care, the Armstrong's All Natural Tech Care. Awesome. I'm going to be posting some beard care tips because that's my forte. So we're going to be posting a lot of those things, maintaining your beard and all that whatnot. So, all right, guys. Well, we appreciate you guys listening, and we'll talk to you soon.